are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, June the 30th. I'm talking about Amani Bates today. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. And we are going with an entire episode about Amani Bates today, because when Amani makes moves, the world stops, as it should and as it will continue to. I'll fill you in on what happened with Amani Bates, why he's in the news, and tell you who he is, in case you don't know. Fill you in on what happened and what will happen from here for him in the immediate, the intermediate, and also the distant future, and what it might mean for the NBA, and even more specifically, your Detroit Pistons. Give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Also, one more pitch. Free podcast you guys are tuning in to here. One favor I'm asking of you. Give a follow to @Play_Michigan on Twitter. Helps me out. Helps me look good. You'll notice your boys read it about 48 followers. Not great. So I know I got to earn the followers, put in the work on Twitter. But do me a solid if you enjoy this podcast. If you listen to this free podcast and enjoy it, do a solid. @Play_Michigan. Give a follow on Twitter. So we're going to talk about Amani Bates today. Why? Well, this is a Michigan basketball culture podcast. In addition to just a Pistons podcast, we talk about the gamut of topics. When something major is happening with the University of Michigan, with Michigan State University, we'll bring that up and maybe even talk a little bit about it. Of course, as you may or may not have noticed, the NBA world has shut down and opening up soon, giving all those lucky 24 teams out there that is going back to work with their seasons something to talk about. Well, unfortunately, the Pistons are not one of those teams. I guess 22 teams. I've completely lost track. And you'll be surprised when the alerts come through, or this person tested positive, or this person's staying home. I kind of have it on ignore right now. I'm really not paying that close attention to the resumption of the NBA season. We will, before they go back to work, before they go back to games, talk about, from a Pistons perspective, here's some players you should watch, in addition to the obvious guys out there, the Fred VanVleets of the world, but maybe some other names that you should look at. But anyway, back to Amani Bates. We've got the coronavirus going on right now. There's just not a lot of topics to talk about. But it's tangentially related to the Detroit Pistons, and we'll tie that all back at the end of the show today. But obviously, this is a guy from the Detroit area, the Ann Arbor area, Ypsilanti, most notably. And I made a movie about Amani Bates. I know I talked about it in quite a bit in detail on the show when it came out, but perhaps we got some new listeners these days. But I wanted to point that out. It is the pinned tweet on my Twitter timeline there. It is called Ipsy's Amani. I made it with a friend of mine, Greg DeLiso, who is a very talented filmmaker, and also our buddy Mike O'Brien helped us out and introduced us to each other as well. And just kind of scratching our heads and mostly Greg waiting on me to put some more of the touches together, but hopefully we can get a sequel together about Amani Bates, even though, you know, there's a little bit of a disconnect now between Amani Bates and EJ Bates and people like us. I know that they've got their own kind of in-house documentary crew working on some stuff, and obviously they've got maybe some more media people that they lean on and rely on. That's kind of how these things work, right? I was in the same position when I was in Springfield, Missouri, covering Doriel Green Beckham, who was the number one high school football player in the country in Springfield, Missouri back then. Went on to be recruited by everyone. The Alabamas of the world wanted him, the Oklahomas of the world, Florida, all those guys. Stayed in state in Mizzou at the end of the day. But, you know, it turns it from this local story that you can kind of get access to, talk to them, get interviews, maybe even get a little inside information. Not that we were ever looking for that with Amani Bates. We were never trying to pry or be an agent of information or anything like that. But just wanted to tell the story about the area. We had heard about Amani through all the middle school articles that were written about him becoming the number one prospect of the country as a freshman in high school, as ridiculous as that sounds. Those are pretty prescient sometimes. So we got to know EJ a little bit, went up to some games, and did eventually interview them after they won the state championship his freshman year with the Ypsilanti-Lincoln Rail Splitters in Ypsilanti Township, just south of the city of Ypsilanti, towards Milan there. We made the short film, made a 20-minute effort out of it. Didn't do it for money or anything like that. Didn't even really get it released. Entered it into a couple of festivals and got turned down, or some of them got closed because of the coronavirus. But I encourage you to check that out. And again, free podcast. Just help us out. Check out the movie and spread the word as well. But Amani just finished his sophomore year at Ypsilanti-Lincoln High School. As a freshman, he led them to the state championship. They went on an improbable run. I mean, this was a very good team, obviously, as a freshman. But he went with that team and a bunch of comebacks, a bunch of buzzer beaters during the stretch to win the state championship, including a buzzer beater to win at the Breslin Center against UD Jesuit. The Cubs fell there as Amani's teammate, Jalen Fisher, made a buzzer beater at Michigan State University from the baseline. Just an unbelievable moment right in front of his teammates on the bench there. If you're a fan of basketball in the state of Michigan, hopefully you've seen that highlight already. But if not, I would encourage you to check that out. The perfect place to check it out is on Ipsy's Amani, the documentary about him. But EJ, his dad, is very involved in the story. And what's interesting about EJ and Amani is they didn't do the normal track of playing AAU for the family. If you live in the Detroit area, of course, you've heard of the family AAU program or some of the other Detroit-based AAU programs that are out there. Reach Legends is another one. And, of course, there's big-time ones in Macomb, and Oakland County, I'm sure, has their own as well. But so, you know, the fact that Amani and EJ kind of started their own AAU group called Bates Fundamentals, literally an in-house AAU program, a little bit different. You know, obviously these guys are making the most of it and not only doing what they think is best for Amani and the progression of him as a basketball player, but also, you know, for the family and the community and kind of lifting up everyone with it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that they're doing a great job in terms of keeping it in-house and lifting up, like I said, lifting up the family, lifting up the Ypsilanti community, the people that are important to EJ and Edith, Amani's parents. So interesting to see that. And as the story goes on, after they won the state championship, Amani played on the AAU circuit once again, played against Bronny James in a game that got around the internet quite a bit, of course, because this number one player in the country against LeBron's son. LeBron had a well-publicized quick chat with Amani after that game. Amani ends up on the cover of Sports Illustrated in November before his sophomore year starts. Kind of a marked man coming into this season. They're in the OK White, I believe, and that I think that the red is the top division there in Washtenaw area for some of the bigger schools, Division I, Class A type of schools with the Ann Arbor schools of the world as well. But kind of a marked man, but those division games were really easy for them. They blew out a bunch of teams. He had a bunch of huge scoring efforts there. But the challenges that he did have, including the opener against River Rouge, they lost that game. But still, you know, it was about a 19-3 season, I believe, going into the what would be the district final if it was going to get played. But we went out and got some film and watched Amani play some of these games. He's got his chip on his shoulder, but it seems like he's kind of forcing it, right? It's just like he doesn't have to play like a madman. He doesn't have to play like a guy possessed, because his talent can kind of carry him through some of these games against, you know, mid-level suburban Detroit college or high school basketball players, which obviously a guy who's hopefully in a couple few years going to be in the NBA, it's just not a challenge for him. So it was interesting to kind of watch that. We were at the game, or the second game after they played after Kobe Bryant died in January. Amani, as you would see in the documentary that we put together, considered Kobe his basketball idol. So it was an emotional thing for him. He wore number 24 for one of those games in tribute to Kobe Bean Bryant. Scored 42 in that first game. He later dropped 63 in a double overtime win against Chelsea, too. So he's just going nuts on some of these teams. But then, like I said, the pandemic forced everything down before he was able to play his district final game. Still won Gatorade National Player of the Year as a sophomore and has got that one state championship underneath his belt, and is obviously a guy kind of destined for stardom. But we'll talk about what is up next in the big announcement that they made and what that means for the landscape of the state of Michigan basketball. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about rockauto.com. You know that chain stores, they've got different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers. You as a do-it-yourselfer need to check out rockauto.com's prices because they're the same for everybody and always reliably low. RockAuto.com always has the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like the airlines do. Damn airlines. RockAuto.com has everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. I see the Dream Cruise is pretty much canceled, so if you got that classic, you got another year to get RockAuto.com to get you your parts you need so you're looking good for the summer of 2021 as we cross our fingers and hope there is such a thing as the summer of 2021. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for the pros and the do-it-yourselfer Joes. Why spend up to twice as much for parts if they're all the same? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Yes, sir!
So a little bit more about Amani Bates. We'll talk about his distant future a little bit later, but what did he do? Why are we talking about him today? Well, Amani Bates committed to Michigan State kind of out of nowhere. On Monday afternoon, I saw some rumors that he was going to be on ESPN popping up in the morning, and then ESPN plugged that he was going to make the announcement, and he sure did, as he was live there with his folks and his brother and his high school coach behind him as well, and they plopped on the Michigan State hat. However, it was probably the least convincing commitment you'll ever see, and obviously interesting because he's going into his junior year, so a little bit early in some timetables out there to be given your college commitment. But he says, I'm not sure what the future may hold, but as I do know of right now, I will be committing to Michigan State University. So I'm not sure what my future may hold, but I'm committing to the Michigan State University. If you're reading between the lines, you might be thinking like I am and thinking, you know, there's a really, really good chance that he may never play at Michigan State or any college for that matter. Now, I did tweet out during the day just because it's kind of a sticks in my craw when things like this happen with either of our beloved schools here in the state of Michigan, Michigan and Michigan State, that why does this always have to turn into a pissing match between the fan bases? And I'm someone who didn't go to these universities, but I cheer and root for both of them. I would say equally in basketball. I think I lean towards Michigan a little bit in football, but I like, you know, all the programs. I've covered all the programs. I root for all these programs, and they're playing teams outside of the state of Michigan that aren't Central Michigan University, by the way. And it's just why does it always devolve into this childish stuff? It's just both fan bases, everyone's equally at fault for it. And I understand that that's kind of the things that people like about rivalries in some ways. But, man, I was thinking about it, and I was like, I hope that when the Pistons are ever relevant or they're ever good or they're ever in a hard-fought playoff series or something like that, that this fan base just doesn't devolve into – and maybe this is just me, like, getting older and not wanting to pick fights with people on the internet or not wanting to pick fights with people in general. I don't know. Maybe I always default to maybe I'm just getting old, but I just – sports should be like a community environment of things that make you feel good, right? And I understand that there's conflict in sports because there's other teams, and I understand there's always all sorts of underlying issues with fan bases, especially ones in rivalries of schools that are an hour apart. I get that part, but man, why does it devolve? You sound like such teenagers, like such adolescents from the outside. And again, it's both sides. No one's good and no one's bad at it. Again, and these are two programs, these are two universities that I like. These are two towns that I love spending time in. These are two places that I have great friends that went to Michigan State and the University of Michigan, and I could alternate universes. I could have seen myself going to both of these schools. In some ways, I regret not going to both of these schools. I've had run-ins with police officers at both of these schools. Like these are places that were near and dear to my heart. I lived for a summer in East Lansing. Spent a lot of time in Michigan as well. Maybe not as much time as I did in East Lansing. I had a girlfriend in college that lived in that went to Michigan State. But it's just like, why are we doing this? Why do we act like 16-year-olds? Why is it then when something good, like Amani Bates committing to Michigan State, the Michigan trolls come out? Why is it that when Isaiah Todd, who was trending on Twitter just because of this whole tit-for-tat that's going on between the Michigan and Michigan State fan bases, that Isaiah Todd, who Juwan Howard was skillful and lucky enough to get to commit there, he goes to the G League program, which he should do, which he ought to do if he wants to do, which he has the right to do. Why does this turn into this tit-for-tat between people who obviously have, I don't know, is there something missing in your life? What's going on? Why do we have to do this? Argue with our rival college team's fan base on Twitter. I just, it really gets to the point where, like, I don't like college football and college basketball nearly as much as I would otherwise. It actually impacts the way that I feel about games because I'm like, man, Michigan and Michigan State are going to play a football game. Which fan base might be a little bit less annoying about the outcome of that game? Maybe that's who I'll root for in this one. Anyway, that's my soapbox there. Amani Bates is going to Michigan State. All the Michigan fans are going crazy saying, hey, there's no way he's going to go there. I'm not saying that, by the way. I think that they're 50-50, probably less than a 50% chance that he ends up playing there. I hope he does. I hope he wins Tom Izzo's second championship or maybe his third championship if he ends up there in 2 years and Tom can get it done. Love the Tom Izzo story. Love the Tom Izzo ethos. Love being in press conferences with him. A real dude and just a Hall of Famer in every sense of the word. But so will he play in East Lansing? Amani Bates going into his junior year. A lot of guys out there reclassify when they hit about this time in high school. EJ Bates has said repeatedly that this is an option for him, that he will have the option to graduate after his junior year. And in addition to all this stuff with Michigan State, they also announced that they are opening Ypsi Prep Academy. That's right. MHSAA schools, as you probably know here in Michigan, you can't go across the country and play in the Hoop Hall Classic in Springfield, Massachusetts. You can't play in the Bass Pro Tournament of Champions in Springfield, Missouri. You can't go out to the Tarkanian Festival or whatever it is in Las Vegas. You can't go down to all the tournaments in Florida. There's another one in Atlanta, I believe, that this team's going to go on. So EJ Bates and the Bates family and whoever else had to get involved basically are making themselves a basketball factory school called Ypsi Prep Academy. It's going to be tied to a group called Aim High Academy, which is, you've probably heard of. They have a bunch of training centers throughout mid-Michigan, most notably in Lansing, I believe. And they started an international academy that is stationed kind of in the middle of nowhere in Ohio. And Ypsi Prep Academy, started by EJ Bates, is going to be a satellite campus of Aim High International Academy or something like that. Insane? Yeah, it sounds pretty crazy. But this is what's going on around the world of basketball. As you know, Josh Jackson, I think he was at Detroit Community, I believe, transferred for his junior and senior year out to Prime Prep in California. The Deion Sanders started. Montverde is a traditional powerhouse. Ben Simmons, D'Angelo Russell, the list goes on and on of players that went to Montverde over the years. They're a perennial national champion. Of course, Oak Hill Academy is one of the first one of these. Basketball factories, some of them legit prep schools, some of them not so legit prep schools. There's a bunch, Finley Prep in Las Vegas, other Las Vegas ones that come to mind. If you follow high school basketball, you know that all these names are kind of out there. But, it's an interesting way. There's a lot of seedy nature to it, but hopefully they can keep it as clean as possible. I'm hearing that Nike is going to be connected to the Ypsi Prep Academy. But good for EJ and Amani to be staying home. It sounds like they're going to be playing games at the Convo in Ypsilanti at the Eastern Michigan University, maybe even playing games at Little Caesars Arena, possibly the Breslin Center as well. Would be interesting to see some big-time games and some big-time talent coming through the state of Michigan because the MHSAA, and again, whenever you have an issue with the MHSAA, for better or worse, they always just kind of say, well, this is the bylaws. All the schools vote on this stuff. So you can't blame the MHSAA because all the schools set all this stuff up. Well, I've always kind of thought that was a little bit of a cop-out because things change, times change, and schools are only going to be voting on the things that are presented to them, or only if someone at some school puts this serious movement that takes years and years and years together. Now, I know that there's something to be said for moving slowly, especially when it comes to athletics and scholar athletes and all that kind of stuff too. But the MHSA moves so slowly that they lost players. They lost player after player after player. Players would leave the state of Michigan, would go to the Spire Academy, where LaMelo Ball played with some of those guys down there, Rocket Watts, who's at Michigan State right now. And again, if you followed basketball around here, you can name guy after guy after guy who went to prep schools, and then maybe they were not going to Michigan or Michigan State because they had more connections with some of these other prep schools and already had an out-of-state experience, was more comfortable with that kind of thing. So I'm sure that Juwan Howard and Tom Izzo would prefer that there's something like this around here that could kind of be a little bit of a recruiting tool for them in the future, and that's what Ipsy Prep Academy is going to be. They're going to go down and play Montford. They're going to go down to play IMG Academy and some of these big-time national tournaments as well, maybe even get into that Dick's Sporting Goods national tournament that's at Madison Square Garden as well. I think that's still going on. So that's what's going to be happening. It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out, see if some crowds come out. Obviously, this Ipsy Prep Academy team will not be eligible for the MHSAA state championship, so Amani and EJ kind of just decline to go after state championships, which is their prerogative, and probably a good move. I mean, if you're Amani Bates, you don't want to go to some college and get a major like you or I would, where you can get a business degree or something like that. Amani Bates needs to be preparing for life as a professional athlete, and there needs to be some kind of way to best prepare him for that, and to have him be focusing on basketball a lot of the time, and to have him be traveling will be beneficial to help him prepare for life as a pro, to have him go up against McDonald's All-Americans and Division I recruits night in and night out, and not the Matt Shook version from 2001 of Royal O'Kimble out there just maybe even trying to hurt you, or not being the type of athlete that that you know knows how to play in high level games, so you're not really getting anything out of it. Can totally understand where they're coming from, and kudos and good luck to those guys. But we'll kind of break it down what this means for the NBA future for Amani Bates, and specifically with the Detroit Pistons. That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network. Your team every day. So will Amani Bates be in the NBA anytime soon? Well, the first question is, will he reclassify? So it sounds like, you know, certainly he will play his junior season in high school at Ipsy Prep Academy. They'll probably play it by ear and see whether he wants to reclassify for his senior year. But guess what? If he is talking about maybe going to Michigan State, that's one thing. And if he's also figured out that he can graduate after his junior year, to me, that sounds like, if he's able to reclassify after his junior year, go to Michigan State and play one season there, that sounds like that would probably be the move. However, if there's some issues involved there, if I don't know about the NCAA, it seems strange to me that Nike would be allowed to just give the creators of an Ipsy Prep Academy some sort of amount of money and some sort of gear to sponsor the school, and then you can just kind of be eligible for the NCAA. Again, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on NCAA things. And then the question from there is, when will Amani Bates be eligible for the NBA draft? Because as we know, right now, you've got to be 19 years old in your draft eligible year, and you have to be outside of outside of high school for one season. So problem with Amani Bates is he was born in January of 2004. So he is not going to be 19 until the 2023 draft. Now, that could change. The NBA, they have their collecting a bargaining agreement through 23-24. However, outside of that, there have been proposals through the NBA to the players. This was all heated up kind of last spring and has kind of died down since then. Not to say it's dead, but to change the one-and-done rule and basically get rid of it and saying that players can come straight from high school to the NBA, provided they're 18 years old in their draft year. So the word back in the spring of 2019 was that by 2022, which would be the year that Amani Bates was originally scheduled to graduate high school, that would be repealed and he would be able to go straight to the pros in 2022. That was kind of the narrative back then. However, such that things have changed since then, that move has not been made to change the one-and-done rule. And the other development since then that's interesting is the NCAA talking about the name, image, and likeness rules, to where players are, it's becoming laws in certain states that they're passing this. And obviously at some point the NCAA is probably going to cave and make it a blanket-wide national thing where players can't get paid to go to a school. However, you can use your name, image, and likeness, some of this stemming from some of those video game lawsuits with the O'Bannon brothers and all of that. But, you know, you can basically sign autographs and get paid for it because it's your name, and why wouldn't you be able to do that? You can get shoe deals. You can go, be a spokesperson for a car company and get a car. Now you can't get paid by the University of Michigan or Michigan State University to be an athlete there, but those outside things that are outside the program. Now, I know that sounds gross to all of us who are conditioned to thinking about college athletes as being amateur status and all that stuff, but in the real world, it makes a lot of sense. And in the real world, maybe having some of these Zions and Amanis and LeBron James type talents stay in school or actually go to school might actually help college sports, especially the puke that we watch sometimes during the college basketball season that makes it really hard for an NBA fan to watch some of that stuff. So, Amani Bates, what's going to happen? My prediction is that he does play 1 year of high school at Ipsy Prep and then goes ahead and plays one, maybe even two seasons at Michigan State if things aren't cleared out for him to be able to go. Obviously, one and done would be the plan and ideal for him. But if the NBA doesn't change that 19 rule, then he probably would stay 2 years. I think that somehow gets done. And obviously, with Amani Bates becoming a little bit of a powerhouse and showing that he's not going to be pushed around, they start their own AAU program. They start their own high school. Maybe his voice will start to mean something at a national sense, especially if he stays in the right corners of LeBron James and the clutch group and things like that. Maybe his voice can get amplified enough where he could be someone who changes the game a little, gets that age limit changed, maybe the one-and-done rule scrapped. The winds of change are happening. It's just a question of how much big change has happened and how much Amani Bates has to do with it. Because I think we could say so far that obviously this guy is a talented young man. We hope for the best for him. We hope he has a long, successful career and however form he wants it to go, whether that's in college, going to the Final Four, winning Tom Izzo a championship, going to the NBA, going to the All-Star game, going to the Hall of Fame, getting the Last Dance doc 20 years after he plays, whatever is in the future for Amani Bates. But for now, here is a kid, here is a young man, and here is a young family that is really making waves in a positive way for them. They're not sitting back and being told what to do and doing the normal route of what people are doing. And I commend him. I want to say a shout out to Amani, to EJ, and everyone involved with the Bates Group. Really respect those guys. Again, we did the film on them. They have kind of cut us off in some ways. It's a little too harsh to say it because I do talk to EJ from time to time. But in terms of getting a second doc going, nothing that we want to make money off of, but I can understand it. He wants to protect his son. He wants to protect, and I know this sounds crass, but an investment. I mean, this is a big opportunity. There's people coming from all sides that want to get a piece of this guy. And these are people that are controlling the action, controlling the narrative, and controlling the path so far. And I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see Amani Bates, not only for his own micro career, but how he changes the game of amateur athletics in the state of Michigan. He's already done that. How he changes potentially the college to pro pipeline and how that all shakes down and how the basketball world reacts to him. And ultimately, what kind of player he turns into as well. So some insight for me. I hope you guys kind of enjoyed a little bit of a different episode there. Should the Pistons tank for 2 years so they can draft him in 2022? No, they shouldn't. Will they be so bad that they might draft him in 2022 anyway on accident? Maybe. Hope so. Would be cool to see if he stays home and turns this Pistons franchise around. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. This is your host, Matt Shook. Thanks for indulging me today. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.